B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
That's a... I don't want to call it Amir Johnson, but I feel like it's that type of guy on the bench, basically.
Yeah, a little better, I think. Yeah. He's got legs, which Amir Johnson really didn't have when he was here all that much. I mean, Amir Johnson tried, but he's just at the end of his career.
Right.
I think O'Quinn, you have a banger, a legitimate banger there in the middle. I do think Horford, look, it's great to have that extra, you can plug him in as a backup center, but that can't be your first priority for him. He's got to, let him play the four, and even if Embiid's out, I think you keep him at the four. Don't change two positions. You plug in O'Quinn at the center spot and let Horford shine at the four.
That seems easy enough to me. 610-632-0975. I do have to tell you, the 8 o'clock hour is now brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. I mentioned this earlier, and he's still getting respected, but I feel like it's a bit of a slap in the face to a guy that a lot of people are calling an MVP this season, and that's Carson Wentz. And we've talked about him a lot. Our expectations are high. We talked about it a lot yesterday, how I feel like this is going to be a juggernaut of an NFL team. That's what the Eagles are going to be in the 2019 season. When I think of Carson Wentz, I think of a top-tier quarterback. And obviously the stipulation comes in here with when healthy, but talent level, that's what he is. So GMs, coaches around the league, and ESPN started ranking Carson Wentz and other quarterbacks, right? So this is NFL coaches and executives. Carson Wentz ranks in as a top 10 quarterback, but not a tier 1 quarterback, which I thought was interesting. And Jamie, did you post this to our social media? Or Trey, did you post
this? Yeah, I posted it. Yeah.
You see him as not being among the elite of the game. Is it just a matter of health, or is it a matter of refining his game? Why wouldn't he be a tier one guy?
I think right now it's health. You know, you've looked at the injuries that he's had to deal with. The knee, the back. And I think that right there has a lot to deal with the way he is being ranked, even with the top 100 players that just was coming out. They had him at, what, 96? Something like that.
The NFL Network's top 100 players, he was 96th.
Yeah. That's tier two for me of slap in the face for Carson Wentz. This is tier one. Yeah. But yeah, we're going to get to that. Yeah. But yeah, of the 100 from NFL Network, but this one right here, not tier one.
I do not know. And then too, holding on to the ball too much. You know, not getting rid of the ball on time. Only focusing on Ertz way too much. So I think that a lot of that plays into it. And you know, it's not all just on Carson, because you got to look at the offensive line. I mean, hell, he came back off of injury and got destroyed, got beat up, tossed around out there a lot. So, and then too, I'm okay with him not being one of the top guys right now. Because then now that makes you hungry and want to go prove everybody wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Think of being an outsider looking in. We see Carson Wentz up close and personal every year. But if you're just an outsider looking in, you see a rookie season. Okay, he was okay as a rookie. They went 7-9. And then you say, wow, those 12 games that he played the next year, close to MVP caliber. Mm-hmm. And then last year, very mediocre again, 5-6 in the 11 games that he played. So if you're an outsider looking in, if Mahomes was like that in Kansas City and we're in Philadelphia and we look at that, we'd probably say, I don't know, maybe he's going to be okay. We think he's going to be special because we see it every day, I think. I don't think outsiders really have seen anything yet, and it's kind of justified. You can kind of see it.
Now, to move forward, go ahead.
And he's ours.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So a little bias there. Yeah.
So, to then distill it further, as you guys just alluded to, the NFL Top 100 is out, and Carson Wentz was ranked 96th, as you guys mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're going to pull the injury card on him, then it's fair.
He was third last year.
Okay, that's not fair.
Wow.
Is that right? Third to 96? That's a little bit of a drop, right?
What the hell?
Wait, let me guess. Mahomes wasn't even ranked last year, and now he's like first?
He's actually the greatest quarterback to ever play in the game. I don't know if you heard that one yet, but you think about that, and our friend Michael K of NJ.com wrote up a story on it, and he pointed out that he went from third to 96.
And he still put up a 102.7 quarterback rating.
He had a
rating.
Better quarterback rating last year.
With a broken back and a bum knee.
And I think, Trey, I think you're dead on. I think that it all comes down to being injured. And that's the thing. This is the biggest doubt that a guy can come back from injury than I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody across the... Lewis Riddick is saying that this guy's going to be the MVP of the league. You have everybody. We've talked about how, at the very least, you're talking about an MVP candidate. Well, I'd mentioned 40-9. That's his touchdown interception ratio. I believe he'll have this year. That's how good I think he'll be with these weapons, with this offensive line, with the running backs you have behind, and with the receivers you have and tight ends you have. I don't think he'll blink and he'll throw 40 touchdowns this year. 96th, all because of injury.
Yeah, it's a little lame.
93 is slot drop.
I'd like to see the other quarterbacks in front of him. I'll have to pull that.
We'll delve into that a little bit deeper. But you got to be kidding me if you're talking about that type of drop for Carson Wentz.
For a guy that's an MVP candidate, you should not be 96th in the league.
I agree with Trey though. I kind of like it.
It's good.
I do like it. Sure.
There's a little go ahead and doubt me.
Yeah, a little bit of that, and you know, teams take it a little lighter maybe when I doubt it. But yeah, if everybody around the league wants to think that, all right.
And for whatever reason, this team thrives on that whole underdog mentality.
Right?
So they love that, everybody's against us, or everybody's putting us down. They're going to use this as bulletin board material. They're going to come out gunning.
And some players will walk past the bulletin board and look at it and go, all right, motivation. And then other players like you would be like, we have a bulletin board?
What is that?
I love the idea of guys like this that thrive on doubters that find this as motivation. I love that. Give them more fuel for their motivating fire.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't help but to think 3-96. Dude, are you kidding me? Basically. Let's get to Anthony in North Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, buddy.
I just wanted to touch on that top 100 ranking. 96, from 3rd to 96, that's a pretty big leap, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Hence why I bring it up, my friend.
I mean, and mind you, last year he was injured. He wasn't all the way healthy. He had in his mind that, you know, he had the brace on. So he had a couple things mentally-wise that he had to get over. And I feel as though that is a lot of the game, too. Like, this year he's come. It's not that he can't stay healthy, that he just hasn't been healthy. Like, you touched on his rookie year, he played in all 16 games after breaking his ribs in the preseason. And I just feel as though this year, it feels like 2017 again. Like, everybody's coming into the year motivated. they definitely didn't like how last year finished off with Alshon dropping it and Fletcher Cox getting hurt and everything. But I just feel as though, like, this team is revamped. They're hungry. They want it more than ever. And I just feel like this team is going to be one of the best that we've seen in city history.
Well, Anthony, put it like this. He went from 3rd to 96, but played last year with a better quarterback rating and a broken back. How does this make it? So how does that make any sense whatsoever?
Yeah, I just feel that the top 100 is a joke to me. I just feel like a lot of people play favoritism with that as far as the players go.
Well, let's look at this. So you look at the 10 that have been released. Eric Weddle went from not ranked last year to 100 on the list. Derrick Henry of the Titans went from not listed to 99. Tyler Lockett went from not listed to a 98 right there. Byron Jones went from not listed to 97. Carson Wentz, 3rd to 96.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of malarkey with that.
Jarrell Casey, the Titans, went from 66th last year to 92. Still a bad drop, but no, not anywhere near as bad as Carson Wentz. Let me ask you this, Anthony. Do you have someone in honor of Tom Hanks being the best person to possibly play Mr. Rogers in a movie with the trailer being released yesterday? Who would be the worst person to possibly play Mr. Rogers?
I would say Adam Sandler in his Happy Gilmore role.
I am amazed with how creative our callers are being. Anthony, that's a great one. I'm going to put you on. Are you an MMA fan?
I'm not, actually.
Do you have Fan Fest tickets yet?
No.
You do now, my friend Anthony. You're on hold right there. We're going to give you some tickets to FanFest coming up on August 24th. We got some great things going on there at Xfinity Live from 1 to 5 p.m. at Xfinity Great times will be had by all, no doubt about it. By the way, in case you missed it, some things were added just last week. Sixers are bringing a half court to play on.
Yeah, they are.
At the Fan Fest, obviously. They'll have the dunk squad there. Sixers dancers will be there. Also, the Sixers drum line and the Sixers Liberty Bell.
The Stixers.
The Sixers. Sixers.
Yeah, they're good.
They're
really good.
They keep the beat, as they say. We also have at our Fan Fest, we have great partners like Family and Company Jewelers, Club Risqué, Armor Metals and Recycling, and the U.S. Army. We have escape rooms that are going to be there at Fantasy Fest this year. We got two mobile escape rooms. It's going to be awesome at Fan Fest, exclusively presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Again, Saturday, August 24th at Xfinity Live from 1 to 5 p.m. Tickets are free, but you have to have a ticket to get it. In case you haven't heard yet, all the Fanatic hosts will be on site. Sal Powell will be there himself. Ron Jaworski will be there. Eric Carabel, Tom McGinnis, and Mark Zumoff will have the Bikini Beach created by Elite Landscaping. Special beach feature. Special beach feature
that's
this
a lot.
Year.
Yeah.
That's how you say that.
He got all nervous when we got ready. Go ahead, David Hasselhoff.
I know. He's gonna leave him out
he
again.
Got all jittery,
I'm just
man.
Waiting to pounce on you.
Say what now?
Wait a minute. All right, let him finish.
We got that going on. Special beach feature this year. Hot tubs have been added exclusively and courtesy of the speed. There's no way I can get through that right now. Not happening. 610-632.
David Hasselhoff's going to be there.
Don't hassle the Hoff, bro. 610-632.
I don't know why you hate David Hasselhoff so bad.
Don't, hold on a second. I love David Hasselhoff.
I don't know.
Okay?
I'm not feeling it.
Knight Rider. Kit, the whole thing. The whole kit and caboodle. Big fan of David Hasselhoff.
Why are you afraid to say he's going to be a Fan Fest?
I'm not afraid to say. You're trying to get my hopes up, and I know you're lying to me, Bob Cooney.
We're not lying to you. He's going to be there. Is Coach Camille in? He's got to come in here and let Mark know that it is factual.
Yeah, this is no lie.
This is not a lie.
I wish Yasmin Bleef was coming also, but...
What has she been doing since basketball?
I think her, nose collapsed or something.
Oh, right.
Her nose collapsed.
That sucks.
So I don't know.
These are all medical terms no one needs to worry about. 610-632-0975. We got Drew and Voorhees. Let's talk about the Eagles defensive line and a Mr. Rogers. We got wide open lines after that. 8:30, we're going to talk to Jason Stark, the Hall of Famer himself, about some possible Phillies trades they could make before the trade deadline coming up in just 8 days. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 8:11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, coming up in about 9 minutes, we're going to talk to Jason Stark. But first, let's get an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation.
Today we asked, are you confident Matt Klentak will make a significant addition to the Phillies roster before the trade deadline? We have just over 1,000 votes so far. 73% say no.
Oh, no.
No confidence.
What's wrong with people today?
No. It's gloomy out. Maybe they're just miserable because of the weather.
The rain got to them yesterday?
Well, it's gray out now, too. It's not nice out.
It's beautiful out.
Nuh-uh.
Looks gorgeous.
She said, nuh-uh.
It's dark back where I sit, guys.
So, yeah, you were.
It would be a ray of sunshine.
Well, we keep you in the dungeon.
Yeah, seriously.
Actually, we're in the dungeon.
Yeah,
there's
right?
No windows. There's no escape here. It's ridiculous.
It's currently 68 degrees outside.
It's beautiful.
I will say the
compared
weather...
Compared to the 105, it's going to feel like winter.
At 6 o'clock, people were glued to windows, just marveling at storms rolling
through.
I do
love a good storm.
Yeah.
It is fascinating.
Driving through it isn't all that fun, which I had to do last night.
Oh, yeah. People get dumb. People get really dumb.
Yeah, I didn't drive through it.
I had to drive through
Jenna
it this
had a
morning.
Game, and they didn't call it off.
Yeah, no drive.
So I had to go to the game and sign.
That's when Bob calls it off.
That's when Bob says, up, lightning strike, turn around. Here we go.
Yeah, I was sitting on the sofa with my feet up. Hey, babe. Hey, make sure you hit Chipotle on the way home. It looks like a rough storm is out there. It's pretty rough, you know. I mean, batting down the hatches now.
Go through the drive-thru so you don't get wet.
Oh, no, Chipotle, you got to get out.
Oh, there's no drive.
No drive through.
Oh man,
you need to get out there. You need to talk to him. I need this. I need a bowl. You know. And then walk back out. Make sure that the bag doesn't get too wet. You know.
Hold on. Okay. So I have to ask this.
Did you see that it was storming out and get worried that Rosa might say, "Oh, it's too rainy. Let me just get home." But you wanted to call and ensure the fact that she was going to get your Chipotle bowl.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure she was getting the bowl.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
All right.
Drew and Voorhees here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
What's happening, guys?
Hey, man. Right.
So, my concern going to camp is, do you think Fletcher Cox is going to be ready with that off-season foot surgery?
Yes.
So, it's not like a Brandon Graham slow start, come back and go from there?
You're probably not going to see much of Fletcher Cox in this camp anyway, like during the, these preseason games. So it's going to be more of just getting him revved up for the for week one.
Got it.
I think he's got plenty of time. Yeah. And there's been no ill effects.
No inclination.
And he said that he's feeling great. So yeah, I'm not concerned about it even a little bit.
All right, good.
Who is your Mr. Rogers?
Bobby Knight.
Drew, you an MMA guy?
Yeah, like MMA.
All right, I'll put you in the running for that as well. You win some FanFest tickets as well, Drew. Bobby Knight would be a phenomenal Mr. Rogers.
Even though he didn't wear sweaters like that?
Oh, yeah.
He did wear sweaters like that.
They weren't necessarily cardigans, but they were still sweaters. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're definitely. No, I'd love to see that.
Bobby Knight had the best line I've ever heard. He's like, "When I die, I want you to bury me face down, so all my haters can kiss my ass." I love it. That's what I'm talking about, Bobby.
That is phenomenal. So you have no worries about Fletcher Cox?
No, I don't have any worries about that. I think that you're not going to see a lot of Fletcher Cox anyway in these preseason games. I'm thinking it's going to be something that you're just going to get him revved up for the season.
Break the penetration of Cox.
That's right.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. And I know, Bob, you've made this point. I know we've made it a lot over the last couple of weeks, but really looking back to 2004 is the last time you can really look at this roster and go, "Oh, wow, they're going to be a juggernaut." And I do feel like this team is going to be a juggernaut because it's not like a completely newly assembled team where everyone has to gel and get on the same page. Alshon Jeffrey and Carson Wentz have played together. You know, DeSean Jackson has played with a lot of different quarterbacks and been successful with a lot of different quarterbacks. I think he could be successful with a guy like Carson Wentz. The offensive line has been solid. You look at the running backs that they brought in, and they're going to be solid for you. The defense should be good for you as well. I know a lot of people are concerned about specifically with the defense, the defensive line in terms of getting after the quarterback. But I feel like with the middle of this line, your defensive ends, your edge rushers are going to be almost graded on a curve. They're going to have a little bit of an easier route to the quarterback because your defensive line is going to be taking up so many guys. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to double team Fletcher Cox. You're going to have to double team Malik Jackson at times. You're going to have to double team Tim Jernigan. He's going to be taking pressure off those guys. If Derek Barnett is even an average defensive end, he's going to have a very much above average year, considering what the guys have to block in the middle of the offensive line, to block the defensive line is what I'm saying. I can't wait, man. I am amped for this season to start. And it all really starts in with weigh-ins tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Weigh-ins and getting ready to rock.
Now, what exactly is going on right now in the life of an offensive of an NFL player?
You, man, packing up. Even though they're only going to the hotel, so I mean, you're just packing a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Just packing whatever clothes.
Overnighter.
Just overnighter, whatever clothes you're going to just rock while you're in camp, because I mean, you're just going to throw everything on a loop anyway and just get it washed while you're going. I mean, it's not a lot. You're just going to a hotel. It's not like you have to pack comforters and, you know, all that other stuff. It's not like how you now, you know, your playbook is on an iPad.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is cake, man. You don't have to lug the big playbook around and all that. You got an iPad.
If training camp was like this back when you played, you might have liked it.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Chris Long had some of it and still felt like, you know what?
Good point. Not going is like taking a blanket out of the dryer.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about how it was time for, this is the time of season or time of year where people do something stupid. Like, there has been stuff that's happened in the NFL, but and we didn't see this story yesterday. I just saw it after the show. Did you see this Tom Brady video diving in Costa Rica with his daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way he didn't drag her into the water, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a drag.
Like, they were holding hands, like, one, two, three. They were going to do this, like, I guess, medium-sized cliff dive with each other. Tom Brady did the same thing.
It was, like, 8 to 12 feet.
Maybe a little more.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more, but they're holding hands. It's like, all right, on three, we're going to jump. One, two, three, and Tom Brady jumps, and his daughter's definitely hesitant, and he drags her in, like, pulls her in with him. And, like, a lot of people were, like, killing the guy on Twitter for it and all that stuff. It didn't look like the smartest thing to do, like, for an NFL player. And I guess you have to make sure, and I know some people responded to this on as well, like, hey, make sure your daughter's jumping before you just pull her in. It didn't look good. I'm not saying Tom Brady's the world's worst parent or anything, but man, there is no way to look at that other than he pulled his daughter on a cliff jump.
Yeah, it looked like he said, well, go on three, and he went one, two, three, and she thought he was going to one, two, three, go. So she was going to go on the go, he went on the three, and it didn't look good.
He goes feet first, she goes like side first?
Well, yeah, it was kind of different.
It was not smooth.
As a quarterback, do you do a regular count, or do you go blue 80, blue 80?
She's like, Dad, I thought you said a snap count was three.
Yeah.
He was like, it's going to be on a quick count.
Cliff jumping while holding hands is never a good idea.
No. You have to really be in tune with the next person.
Yeah.
And here's how difficult.
Like a center and quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Here's how difficult it is. It was his daughter. She should be on page more than anybody.
Yeah.
And she's still at the age where I think she thinks her dad's like, you know, the ultimate superhero. But then he is Tom Brady.
Yeah, so he is the ultimate superhero.
He kind of is the ultimate superhero, unfortunately. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up in just a second, and he's going to be brought to you by the wonderful people at Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds, even during peak hours when everyone's online. Learn more at Xfinity.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest just got inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Well worth it. A man that was beyond worthy of doing so. And that man's name is Jason Stark from The Athletic. And he's on with us right now. The Hall of Famer, Jason Stark. Jason, again, congratulations, man. What great speech, first and foremost. How was the whole week for you?
Mark, thank you. And as amazing as you might think that would be, it was way beyond anything I ever could have comprehended.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I'm not a guy who's ever get into this because I'm chasing awards. You know, I got into it, and I'm still doing it because I love it, and I always have. But I had an amazing experience. You know, I got some amazing memories, and I spent a week in the Magic Kingdom. In Cooperstown, being treated like I was just the same as all those incredible players around me, which I am not. But from the moment that Wade Boggs came up to me on Thursday and said, "Welcome to the club,"
whoa,
that's how I was treated. And you know, you'll be shocked to hear that Jim Thome took really good care of me there. But you know, at one point, I was in a room looking around at who else was in the room. And Jim was right next to me, and I said to him, "Do you ever look at the room? Do you ever look at who's in this room?" And he said, "Yeah, it's unbelievable." This is Jim Thome talking, right? And I said, "You know what, Jim? I'm having a hard time thinking I'm worthy of being in this room." And he said, "Oh, yes, you are. You've earned every bit of this. Your career, the person you are, the way you've done it, you totally belong here." And I said, "I appreciate you saying this, but I'm very aware of the fact that you have 600 more home runs than I do."
You know, I got to ask you this because I never heard the story before, but Dallas Green saying, "Bleep you, Jason." Why was he saying, "Bleep you, Jason"?
Yeah, good times. Yeah, in the speech, I had to do my greatest hits. That's certainly one of them. I'm sure if you Google this, you can find out all about it. But I'll just try to sum it up by saying that, you know, I was the young guy in the group, but I had a good relationship with Dallas.
Okay.
And, like, my role in the group was when Dallas was in one of those moods, you know, I could usually ask him something or say something that would make him smile and lighten the mood, and we could all go on. So we're down there one night, And, you know, it was one of those deals where this was a time when post-game press conferences were not TV shows. Mm-hmm. It was just us in the manager's office. And we took one look. It was 11-3 loss. We took one look at Dallas, and, like, nobody wanted to ask anything. So I thought, well, I don't think anybody said a word for a minute, including him. So I thought, all right, here we go. So I tried to lighten the mood. He was not really in the mood for that night. So the first three words were bleep you, Jason. The answer went on for 3 minutes. And as I mentioned in the speech, there are 42 words in there that you're not going to hear on my little phone. But the really cool part of it was a few weeks later, he was trying to get me to do it again. And I knew something was going on, but I really didn't know what. So I said, you know, I've got one tape of this. I don't need a second one. So I don't know what you're up to. I'm out. Okay? And so he was very frustrated by my refusal to play along with him. And then somebody else in the room asked him a question, and he said, bleepity bleep, that's worse than that bleeping question Jason asked. And the guy said, what question was that? And then he had a big smile on his face. He opened his desk drawer, he went digging through his desk, and he pulled something out, and he threw it across his office at me. And I opened it up, it was a T-shirt. And it said, bleep you, Jason. And I still got it. That was a shock to my wife.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, was your wife from Baltimore?
She's from York.
York.
So York, you know, York is where Phillies fans and Orioles fans and even some Pirates fans converge. So.
Oh, I lived in New Freedom for like 3 years.
Oh, yeah, right? So you know all about it. So that's why I mentioned my mother-in-law, because she watches every Orioles game. Incredibly, she grew up in a house where her brother watched every Phillies game.
Oh, that's awesome. That's crazy, man. No, it was awesome. And then, you know, back to your surreal, how surreal the moment was, you get done your speech and you go sit next to Brooks Robinson, like, no big deal. Like, that's the company that you now keep, Jason. So again, congratulations. Yeah. And I know it's been insanely busy for you all week, but we do have the MLB trade deadline coming up. And we just asked a general question.
Back
question.
Back to work, Jace.
Sure.
Yeah. No.
Bring me down with my clad. It's fine. Just,
yeah. Take your HOF hat off and let's go.
Oh, come on, Jason. I know how to end the interview. We're going to go right back to the speech. Don't you worry. But in the midst of it here, in the middle of the sandwich, we'll talk about this. Then we got the MLB trade deadline, and we asked a very general question. Are people confident that Matt Klentak will make a significant move? Now, significant would be a Robbie Ray. It would be adding somebody to the rotation that would be better than what you got. Shouldn't be that hard. So are people looking forward to having confidence in a significant move being made for the team? And it's 71% no right now.
Yeah. How are you defining significant?
I am defining it as Robbie Ray, having a starting pitcher in the rotation, whatever.
Bigger than Drew Smiley.
Correct. Right,
bigger than Mike Moran. I am not confident of that. You know, I didn't get to spend a lot of time in Cooperstown watching the Phillies, talking to people about the Phillies. There was a Phillies delegation there. You know, we spent some time chatting, and I think there's a lot of frustration. I think there are a lot of people questioning, you know, how big a price you should pay to make this season end in a wild card game or wherever it goes from there. But, you know, I do think, and I said this to you last week, that this is not necessarily a buy-sell question. This is a shopping opportunity. And I really do think, you know, they know that bet that they made on their rotation and the young pitchers in that rotation, that was the wrong call. And so they've got to fix that. You're not looking to just fix it for August and September. You're looking to fix it for August, September, and beyond. And those are the kind of guys you should be paying attention to. Matthew Boyd, who pitches against him tonight. Robbie Ray, to a point. I don't think they're in love with him, but, you know, how can you not look at him? Zach Greinke, Marcus Stroman. Anybody with control is on their shopping list. Trevor Bauer would be on their shopping list. How big a price they would be willing to pay for that guy is my question. And right now, they've all got a big price.
Do you look at a guy like Mickey Moniak, who has come around over the last couple of months in his minor league career, do you look at him as a guy the Phillies still have great value in as a number one overall pick, or do you think that he's a guy they dangle out there possibly for a trade?
For the right guy, I don't have any doubt that they would trade Mickey Moniak. Mm-hmm. Remember once upon a time when the Phillies made the Ken Giles deal and people were all excited that they got Mark Appel back?
Yes.
You know, why were they excited? Because that was once the number one pick in the whole draft. Mm-hmm. And Mickey Moniak is the perfect guy to throw into a deal so the other team can say, we got a guy who was once the number one pick in the draft. Hey, he's going to play in the big leagues, but is he going to be a star in the big leagues? I don't really know anybody in any organization who thinks that, but he's going to play in the big leagues. And so he's a very useful chip at a time like this or this winter or whenever that occasion might arise.
Jace, if they do go out and get a starting pitcher, and it's one of those more top-tier guys that you had just mentioned, where does that put the Phillies in your mind? Does it put them, okay, they can compete for a World Series, or does it just say, all right, maybe they can compete in one round of the playoffs?
You're talking about for 2019?
For 2019, yes.
Well, I mean, Bob, let me ask you. I mean, when you look at the Phillies, are they one starting pitcher away from being a World
Series? Yeah, not even close.
I think they know that. One of my philosophies is you should never overreact to anything you've seen over a week or a couple weeks or a few weeks. But this has now gone on for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
the way they played. And, I think they know now what they are and what they're not. If you know, to get into the wild card game, your reward is you get to play the Dodgers, right? And you've already used up Aaron Nola in the wild card game. And so I don't know that there's any one piece that changes that equation. Now, I do get a sense of excitement about what Bryce Harper's doing and the way he's looked over the last few weeks and the idea that you might have MVP Bryce Harper over the next couple of months, which does change the offense to some degree if that's what you get. But nevertheless, I think they're thinking big picture, not 2019, and that'll really show in the way they approach this deadline. It'll be, take on money, use your ability to take on money, maybe to add depth here and there because you need to do that, but mostly target needs for beyond this year because this window doesn't end if you don't make the playoffs this year. They're built for well beyond that.
Speaking with Jason Stark, Hall of Famer Jason Stark, and the last thing for you, Jason, I promised, and I'm going to do it right here. Go back to the speech. I'm going back to the speech. The stories you told were absolutely incredible, but the one that would just blew me away was how and you told us this actually last week about how your mom would make sure that you read a good sports article if she found one that was well written and all that. But the other thing that was wild was your sister predicting your baseball career when you fifth grade, was it?
Fifth grade.
That's incredible.
It's really mind-boggling to me to look back at this. The story I told in the speech was, I had this photo on my wall of my sister and I walking home from school. I was in fifth grade. She was in fourth grade. And, we're pretty happy we survived the day of, massive arithmetic and stuff like that. But she wrote a composition for school that year, and then she framed it and she gave it to me along with a picture, and it says right on there, if you ever wanted to know a lot about baseball, you should ask my brother. And it hangs on the wall of my office, and so every time I go to walk out of my office, I see it there, and I can't help but look at it and think, how did this happen? Who gets to do what they always dreamed of doing? Who gets to live the life they dreamed of having when they're 10 years old? That happened to me. I never stop appreciating the fact that I've lived a fairy tale. I really have.
Mm-hmm. Jason, I got to tell you, I know you were a big fan of his, and you know him for a long time. Stan Hockman is a man that I looked up to for a long time. I'm not even a little bit of a writer. I'm terrible. But Stan tried giving me advice one time, and I remember him saying, fall in love with the English language, find a way to manipulate it to make yourself a better writer and make your point in your story. And I was thinking of those words as you were giving your speech at the Hall of Fame, man. I couldn't be happier for you.
I appreciate it. In the great piece that Bob Brookover wrote on the Inquirer.com last week, I talked to him about Stan because when I was a kid, I would write to Stan. And for some reason, he would write back to me. Like, that kind of mentorship is just unbelievable. And I've always tried to do that because of the example that he set for me and what I knew that meant for me. Pay it forward. That's the motto. Just keep paying it forward.
It couldn't happen to a better guy. Jason Stark, thanks so much. Hall of Famer Jason Stark. We appreciate you coming on despite how busy a week you've had, my man.
Hey, great being with you guys. Thanks, man.
Thanks very much. Jason Stark, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Why strike out with a boring soda when you can hit a grand slam with Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks available at your neighborhood store? Everfresh, nature's refreshment. It is great. I'm happy to hear that and all that great stuff from Jason Stark. And what I'm not happy about, not at all confident the Phillies are going to make a move. That's the bottom line out of all of that. They're not at all confident the Phillies are going to make a move to help their cause. I'm hoping that's not accurate. I'm hoping that they are active. I'm hoping they do something to put them a little bit farther, closer to solidifying playoff spot. Because I just want to see playoff baseball
again. Yeah, so do I.
And they could go from being a bad team to a decent team to a team that is playoff bound. And that's really, over the last 7 days, how I feel this team has turned a little bit. Last week, I was calling them a bad team. They find a way to win some games against the Dodgers and against the Pirates. Hopefully, they keep that going against the Tigers. 610-632-0975. If you haven't heard it yet, Odell Beckham Jr., if you didn't know this, he really loves him some him. He really loves himself.
No question.
We're going to get into that in a little bit. We'll jump back into the Carson Wentz, a little slap in the face from some national correspondents, if you will. And Ben Simmons releases a little video of himself shooting in a pickup game.
The kid is a baller.
All that, and here's our contest. All right, now we got open lines, wide open lines for you right now. First time all show. 610-632-0975. Here's what we're doing. In honor of Tom Hanks and the movie trailer coming out for Mr. Rogers, the movie starring Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. He's without a doubt, Trey, what? The perfect person to play Mr. Rogers, right?
Yeah, hands down.
Who would be the worst person to play Mr. Rogers? We've been having fun with this all morning. We have FanFest tickets we're giving away, as well as MMA tickets we're giving away to Ocean Casino Resort for Professional Fighters League at Ocean Casino Resort, online at theoceanac.com, or you can also buy tickets at the door. Tickets are on sale now. That's going on this Saturday, July 25th. We also got Burger Brawl we're talking about a little bit later. So much to get into coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You gonna sling it? All right, North Dakota kid.
So it's not exactly breaking news that Odell Beckham Jr. is really in love with Odell Beckham Jr.
What receiver is it?
Well, he's got confidence, right?
Yeah.
He's got confidence.
We're going to get back to the 10.
What receiver is it? Tell me, like, which...
Todd Pinkston.
Okay.
All he had to do was watch video of himself, and he shouldn't have been in love with
him. Old alligator arms.
Oh, no, alligator body.
The body, yeah.
Oh, it's the greatest
Lost
thing.
In the lights.
Where did it go? How many lights were there is the question. So, Odell Beckham Jr. Came out. I think this is the GQ?
Yes, Jimmy? GQ.
And he talks about being traded away from the New York Giants. And if this isn't a guy who just loves him some him, listen to this. He felt disrespected. He said he wasn't disappointed in being traded. He felt disrespected. Like, after everything I've done for them, this is me being honest, this team has not been good for the last 6 years, and I felt like I was the main reason at keeping that brand alive. That's the New York Giants brand. Trek.
Yeah.
He's keeping that. He individually is keeping that brand alive.
It's all him.
They were getting primetime games still at 5-11. And why? Because people want to see the show. They want to see me play.
Wow.
Now, He's not entirely wrong.
No, you hold on a damn minute. Mm-hmm. All right, Jamie, before you come in with that little take for you here. So here you go.
New York,
yes,
especially the Giants,
are always
is
have
the reason
time.
They're going to get primetime games.
Jacksonville has primetime games. Everybody has primetime games.
The New York Giants versus the Dallas Cowboys is the money maker in the NFL if you're a network. If you're NBC, you're ESPN, you're whoever, if you're Fox, you want Giants-Cowboys. That's the best you could possibly have, right? With the Giants being even somewhat good, you still want the Giants, even a little bit. The Cowboys, even a little bit. You still want the people that give a rat's ass, even that includes Philadelphia, by the way, the people that give a rat's ass about the Cowboys because we want to see them lose, ergo we care about the Cowboys. Guess what? It's like that across the country. That's why you want what's known in the business as the Dallas Cowboy bump.
Yes.
Not that different than New York.
No.
New York market. That's why they're still getting primetime games.
We both firsthand were working the game where he made the catch.
Yes, we did.
And they still lost that game.
Yes, they did.
And then the Cowboys.
But you saw the reaction firsthand of TV executives from the catch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was utter joy. Because they knew what was on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
They knew he was must-watch TV. While it's a douche statement to make... He's kind of right.
Imagine the ego, though.
I know. Look, I wouldn't want Odell Beckham on my team ever. I've said that before. I wouldn't want him. I don't think he's about that life. But from a TV ratings, he's right.
To say, you know what? I get you primetime games. Wow.
Look, I get where he's coming from, feeling disrespect. They have an old Yeller quarterback that should have been taken out back and put down about 5-6 years ago. And if I'm him, I'm looking at it like, you're going to waste my prime here with that? Really? Uh-huh. We can all see what this is.
Uh-huh.
And he's a crumb, and I'm not sticking up for him, but if I was to take his side of the argument, that's what I would say.
So you're playing devil's advocate?
Yeah.
Okay. Look,
I don't think he's that wrong. I think the Giants have been a joke for 5 or 6 years, and the fact they keep trotting Eli Manning back out there is hilarious to me.
But that's not the point.
No, I know, but the disrespect is, well, what the hell? We're losing because the team sucks and you neglected the offensive line for 4 years.
Wait, hold on, you're moving on from me? Like, that's the point. That's what I get
as
far as why he feels disrespected. That I understand. But being disappointed...
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.